Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
I'm sure many of you sitting down are maybe thinking about heading off on your lunch break over the next few moments. If you are, will you opt for venison if it's on the menu? How about a venison sandwich? Experts in the UK say they want university students to consider eating more venison. They want more venison on university menus in colleges across the UK in an effort to try and cull the ever-growing deer population. Peter Windsor is a representative of the Irish Deer Society. Is this a sustainable solution to culling the deer population in Ireland, Peter?
Absolutely, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that this has been a long-standing sustainable resource that is really, really underrated in the country. And the fact that it's not being used is just, it's really, how would I say, it's really lacking in foreseeing the open market that is there for venison, but it's just, there's so much red tape and, how would I say, initiatives to get venison onto the market from the powers that be, unfortunately, yeah.
Why is there so much red tape?
Well, by the time you the deer is actually shot in the field, and by the time it actually goes onto the open market, by the time the actual hunter himself has so much red tape as regards, he's not allowed to actually sell the deer carcass himself. He has to either provide it to a game dealer or on his open license, at Department of Agriculture initiative on their own license. They're only allowed to legally sell three carcasses, but they can't actually sell it butchered. They have to be sold in the four. So there's just so many things apart from that like refrigeration, disposing of offal. So there's so much things between the time the deer is actually shot to the time it appears on the shelf in the supermarket. It's just
there's an awful lot to go through. And I know we've talked previously, Peter, about the deer population across the country, and I know there's an awful lot of people very much against any suggestions around culling the deer population, and I'm sure we'll hear from those in a few moments, no doubt, as well. It's 1800 453 106 is the number. But you think that this might be a way to try and address the ever-growing numbers in parks?
The Deer Society have always been a conservation group, but a huge part of conservation is actually proper deer management. And deer culling is a huge part of deer management, done right. But over the last, what would I say, the last 5 to 6 years, particularly over COVID, the deer population exploded, and there is a lot of huge initiatives in the background there trying to get deer brought down to sustainable numbers again. But the venison market really has to be the biggest one, because if hunters and particularly game dealers and other stuff don't get the right price per kilo at the door, the deer population will unfortunately won't decrease as it should. There's a lot of initiatives there, particularly from the FRS and a few other agencies there trying to get the deer culled quickly. But it's just I presume it all comes down to money, Andrea, and unfortunately they don't put the money into the right parts of the organisations and the right parts of the industry to get the deer shot, if you know what I mean. So until that happens, there will be hopefully they will put it into the market somewhere. I know there's a lot of issues at the moment. We're trying to get butchers and particularly Bar B, I think, are on board trying to get this lot of issues up and running, but until they do, it's very hard to see how venison will be.
I wonder how many of our listeners actually would opt for venison when they see it in menus around the country. John Tierney is with us too, Peter. John is the campaign director at the Association of Hunt Sabotars. Is this one way to reduce or cull the deer population, John?
Well, first of all, we don't buy into the fact that deer need to be culled. That's something that's put out by the blood sports community, because we've got two issues here, Andrea. Deer conservation and deer stalking are two separate entities. Deer conservation is about deer management and looking after the deer. Deer stalking is about hunting down and killing deer. And deer stalking has no role to play, we believe, in deer conservation, as we don't accept that deer needs to be controlled. Deer can control their own populations given time and space.
But do they, given the numbers, John, that we hear about in many of our national parks around the country?
Well, we don't have a population figure for the four species of deer that we have in Ireland. So we don't know, do deer actually need culling or killing in the first place? Because we don't have the figures. And if you don't have the figures, you're just blind.
How do you know?
And the only people who are pushing this deer culling, or deer killing, as it should be properly called, is people who enjoy a standalone blood sport known as deer stalking. That has nothing to do with deer conservation.
I don't know that it's to do with deer stalking. I mean, we're talking about this today because in the UK, it's a lot of the food experts there are suggesting that venison should be on the menu, particularly to try and encourage more students in particular, actually, to opt for the meat, in many cases, over beef, and also as a way to try and reduce the deer population.
But that feeds into another issue then, is about the use of meat as with diet. And people like myself who are vegan, we don't accept the diet of meat because that's actually going to kill the planet eventually because of our diet. So, you know, we can't be pushing pro-meat into another issue, which is deer conservation. They're separate issues. But our bottom line is that we don't accept that deer need to be killed in Ireland.
At all. Okay. Yeah. Let me bring in Sarah Keogh for a moment, John. Sarah's a dietitian and founder of Eat Well. What are there nutritional benefits to eating venison, Sarah?
I mean, from a nutrition point of view, purely from that point of view, I mean, it's going to be quite similar to eating something kind of like beef in the sense that it's going to be a good source of protein. It's quite a lean meat, so I wouldn't say it's low fat, but it's a little lower in fat. But in terms of things, nutrients like iron,
so lower
zinc,
in fat than your steak or beef, is it?
A little bit, yeah, okay. A little bit, depending on the cut. But but in terms of kind of the nutrients like the iron and zinc and things like that, it's going to be very similar to beef. So if it was something that people were looking at as an alternative from a nutritional point of view, yes, there's no reason why not to include it.
Do we tend to eat a lot of venison here?
In Ireland, no,
yeah.
It's not something you'd often see.
So.
You know, it's very much, I think people sometimes see it in a restaurant and that it's not something I think, it's certainly, I wouldn't meet a whole lot of kind of clients or patients that would have venison. It'd be extremely rare to hear it mentioned.
It's quite popular across Eastern Europe, though, I think, and across other parts, you tend to see it more frequently.
You know, but we see different kind of foods come and go. They get fashionable for a long time. You know, we eat very little eel in Ireland, whereas we would have done kind of 100 years ago and so on. So, you know, foods do come and go with things like that. But yeah, I mean, there's no nutritional reason to not include it.
Yeah, but so what you say, it would be regarded as kind of a lean meat, but not necessarily a huge disparity between it and your ribeye or your roast beef that people might have had yesterday.
And if you're looking at sort of things like, you know, something with it that's a really good source of iron, that kind of thing, like it's going to be brilliant for that. So, you know, we do have an issue around a lot of people missing targets for iron in Ireland. So it'll be another place to pick it up.
OK, stay with me for a moment, Sarah. I want to bring in Keith Grant from Keith Grant Master Butchers in Roundwood is on the line. Do you sell much venison, Keith?
Yeah, it's getting more and more each year. Like at the moment, we're going for about 5 or 6 full deer a week and it's growing week on week. There is definitely a trend towards venison becoming more popular and we're now shipping it right around Ireland.
How would that compare to beef sales?
Beef has come back a little bit because the price went up last year, but I'd say it's coming up on a quarter of the amount of beef we sell in terms of volume. And I'd say it's only going to get more and more. It surprised us how popular it's becoming.
What do you put that down to?
Well, there's a few different things. Ethical point of view, we have people who like the idea that the animal is wild its whole life, and then within 10 seconds it's all over. So from that standpoint, there's also people realise that they do need to be managed. And also, it's a really tasty source of lean protein, so the gym bunnies love it as well.
Okay, so it's sort of, is it kind of modern turkey mince?
Yeah, something like that. There's a bit more flavour, should we say, than your turkey, and it's a better option in that respect.
Yeah.
But it's just the more we tell people about it on our social channels like TikTok and that, the more people are inclined to try it, and anybody who tries it always comes back for more, and it's good value as well.
Right. Yeah, typically, is it cheaper than buying beef?
It'd be very comparable for most things at the moment, the way the price of beef is. But like, for instance, for somebody who just wants to try it, has never tried it before, we do things like we have a pack of 3 venison steaks for €12. So like it's a real easy way without breaking the bank that you can try something simple that if you've ever cooked a beef steak, you can definitely cook that. And It's just kind of nice entry level product.
It's funny, I would have thought actually it was a much more expensive meat.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's down to the cuts as well. Like, there are expensive cuts, like the backstrap is a more premium cut. But there's sausages, there's burgers, there's mince, and they're all just as tasty and just as packed with protein, as the young lady was saying there. And we really do need to control the population. I know the other gentleman was saying we don't, but unfortunately, the evidence is just in front of our eyes. And when the deer get amorous, they don't go looking for Durex, they just get to it. So we need to control that population.
And so, and John Tierney is still with us, actually, Guy, just on that, from the Association of Hunters and Abattoirs. You just, in general, John, your position is that you don't think there should be any deer culling?
Well, animal culling simply doesn't work in the long term. It doesn't. And, you know, we have to kind of get away from deer stalking as being part of the solution to deer management in this country. That's a standalone blood sport. We don't need it. And if we took the gun out of deer conservation, we could deal with deer in a humane and pro-animal way. Because the only way we're doing it at the moment is very much anti-animal. Because you can't bring back dead deer. You just can't bring them back.
The text from a listener says, I went to three different butchers on Saturday looking for deer meat. There was none available. They mustn't have went then, Keith, to your own butchers in Roundwood. But is it on sale in most butcher shops across the country?
No, and it's a thing that is a bugbear of mine. I have told more butchers than little, start selling venison. I guarantee if you get it in, you will sell it. And unfortunately, butchers are just as resistant as most people seem to be to it. The demand is there. And as I say, we're shipping literally to all 32 counties of Ireland, shipping venison. There's no reason butchers shouldn't be stocking it. So there is a little bit of work needs to be done there. Maybe as the gentleman from the Deer Society was saying with Board B in that, just promoting it. As much promoting it to the sellers, the butchers and the supermarkets, as much as to the consumers, because honestly, I've been butchering for 20 years and I've never seen any meat trend upwards as quickly as venison is at the moment.
Do you have any suggestions, Sarah Keogh, on why that might be?
Well, I think people are always looking for something a little bit new, and trends come along, and especially, you know, if social media is talking about things like venison, you know, people are looking for it. But I think at the moment there's a huge sort of focus on protein. A lot of people are more aware of protein foods and they're increasing them. But at the same time, what I'm seeing with a lot of people is they want to increase the protein, but limit how many extra calories that's in. So some of the protein options, there's plenty of lean ones out there, but some would be higher in fat. So venison comes in there as being kind of that lower fat, but high protein, but also the nutrition is really, really interesting in it, in that it does still have the iron, it does still have the zinc, it does still have the B vitamins, you know. So from a nutrition point of view, it packs quite a punch with that.
Dee in Dublin has got in touch to say deer don't cause a problem to the vast majority of people and they're culled. Well, culling ever happened to the seagulls, and they seem to affect every area. Another listener tells me that venison is huge in Scandinavia. It's a very nice meat. David, who's from Dublin, said he had it before in Finland. JP McMahon, chef and restaurateur, is with us on the line as well. Do you serve venison, JP?
I do. We've served it for many, many years in all three of our restaurants. And I think it is not only a sustainable meat, it's also something that's historically eaten in Ireland for thousands of years. And I think it's something that really connects us to the landscape. And I suppose I am of the opinion they need to be culled. I think 100 deer can turn into 1,000 deer in 5 years. And our hunter, I've been out with him before and shot venison. I think it's something that's really fundamental for us in Ireland.
So the public are looking for it, are they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can't. I do see it in butchers and I see it in certain supermarkets now, but by and large, it is still like a restaurant meat. And we look forward to venison season as we do with all season. I mean, we could have the same conversation about wild duck and pheasant and wood pigeon and all these things that I love serving in the restaurant, but we don't seem to be able to get them en masse. And I know there's issues with vets and all sorts of other things, but I think it's something that really connects you. And if you're looking for, whether you're looking for more protein or more of a connection to to your landscape, I think venison is a great one to pick.
It's funny, and I made the point a few moments ago as well to Keith there. I would have just assumed it was actually a very pricey product to buy.
It's probably the same price as beef, if not like maybe a small bit cheaper. And that's probably because it is a niche thing. It's probably more expensive because you can't get it en masse. But look, it is really sustainable because it's wild. It doesn't need to be fed, unlike, I suppose, most other animals that we farm. And so that's why it's very popular in Scandinavia as well. I'm just back from Copenhagen, where you see a lot of game and venison in the season.
It's funny, I don't know, like, it's something I think I only tried for the first time, JP, in a menu last year, because it was, it sort of came out as kind of like a tapas dish, and it was just there, and I didn't actually order it as a main course, and I don't know why I never would typically tend to go for it.
Yeah, I think people have the same issue with lamb sometimes as well. They perceive it that it's going to be quite strong in terms of flavour, but I don't find it particularly a lot more gamey than lamb or beef. And I think as we serve it as a tapa in Cava, and it's nice, people can share it, but it works exactly the same way as beef works. And we have a venison stew on in Tartare, a cafe that closed for many, many years. And like, I think when you stew venison, it's very, very similar to stewed beef and stewed lamb. And I don't think there'd be notable differences in terms of having a stew. So, and that's really where, like the butcher mentioned, venison sausages as well, which are all going to have a little bit of pork in them because venison is so lean. They're really super nice. And I think it is, it's a nice thing to do.
What do people, Keith, typically buy, maybe if it's their first time to purchase venison? What would you suggest, you know, if you wanted to try something out today?
We do some nice boneless steaks out of the haunch, which is the back leg. And we always advise them because they're super simple. If you've ever cooked any sort of steak in your life, you can cook them. The only difference is you don't want to cook them well done because they are so lean. And that's just kind of like a nice entry thing. Venison sausages as well. They're crazy popular at the moment, but it is actually, if you can cook beef, you can cook venison, and there's basically a variety of cuts that you can go for that are just really, really simple to cook.
What would you suggest, JP, first as a starting point?
I think the haunch and stewing the haunch, like making a stew, I mean, venison and barley stew would be really nice. But I do think as Keith said there, I think something, having a stir fry or something like that, something that you're used to making anyway.
Venison stir fry.
And or a ragu, a venison ragu, actually, in terms of instead of your bolognese, you can make a venison ragu and have my brother has a venison ragu on in his restaurant at the moment. And people really, just as an alternative to a kind of spaghetti bolognese, and people really love it.
Well, it might tickle some of our Lunchtime Live listeners' taste buds this afternoon. JP McMahon, thanks a million for getting in touch with us today. Also as well to Sarah Keogh, Peter Windsor, John Tierney, Keith Grant there from Keith Grant Master Butchers in Rynwood. Thanks a million for getting in touch. Texter says, as a forester, deer definitely need to be culled, and the amount of damage that they do is crazy. In addition to this, they're one of the main carriers of ticks, which in turn put people at risk of catching Lyme disease. So I'm in favour of it, says this listener. Another texter, when I worked in a rig yard in Norway several years ago, we would be served reindeer meat at least once a week in the staff canteen. It was absolutely beautiful, always tender, unlike so much beef. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.